I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite things, and that is hearing God. I don't know, did you know that God talks to us all the time, and He wants to talk to you? And did you know that you can actually hear God? So I'm going to give you a basic recipe. It's going to be just 4 points, how to hear God. Because God makes it really simple to hear Him. I think we as people, we complicate it, and we think it's so complicated, but it's really simple. First of all, the first ingredient, you make the choice. You decide that I want to hear you, God. And I'm going to tell you my personal story, how I started hearing God. It was about 12 years ago. I joined a small group Bible study. And the first study we did was Beth Moore. And when Beth Moore started talking about her relationship with God and how God spoke to her, she was so excited. And she's like, yeah, I hear God. And God was telling me this. And I'm sitting there thinking, I didn't know you can hear God like that. I want to have what she has. I didn't want to be Beth Moore. I just wanted to have the relationship with God like Beth did. I wanted to hear God and be excited and know that He speaks to me. And I started to pursue that. I made a choice when I saw that, that God, I don't care what it takes. I don't care if I ever have anything else. I want to hear Your voice. And I started going after it. I just made a simple choice. God, I want that. And John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And after I made that choice to go after God and asking God that I want to hear Your voice, please talk to me and tell me how I can hear You. The second thing you need to have after the choice, you need to have a relationship. That's the second ingredient. You need to know who you're listening to. So what is relationship? How do you get to know someone? Well, think about the time you were dating and you're falling in love. Don't you want to spend all your time with that person? You want to hear everything they say. You ask them questions because you want to get to know them. You want to know what they think, what they like, or what they don't like. And you want them to ask you questions also because they want to get to know you the same way. Well, it's the same thing with God. You just simply spend time with Him. You listen to Him. You ask Him questions and let Him ask you questions. And just listen, just spending time. And it takes two people to have a relationship, but it also takes two, you and God, when you have a relationship with God. It's not one-sided. It's not just God talking and you not listening, or it's not just you talking and God's not listening. It takes two. And some of the ways that sometimes people say that, well, it's easy to have a relationship with the person because you actually see the person, but you can't see God. So how do you know that it's God that is speaking to you? Because you can't see Him. I heard this story a long time ago, but I think it just explains it really well. Picture yourself in a bedroom. It's middle of the night. It's dark. Can't see anything. You're sleeping. Maybe it's your child or your spouse who walks into the bedroom and they just speak to you. They may say, I don't feel good, or I want a cup of water. Do you jump out of the bed like, oh no, who's talking to me? I don't know who that is. I have to turn the lights on because I don't know who's talking to me. No, you don't, because you recognize that voice. You know that, oh, that's my son or my daughter or my husband or whoever it is that you know really well. You don't have to turn the lights on. Because you know that voice, because you already have a relationship that is established. You know what they sound like. You feel their presence in the room. It's not scary. You don't freak out and start calling 911 because you know them. Well, we can know God that same way. And Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great unsearchable things you do not know. See, God is just waiting to tell us all kinds of exciting things. And the point number three in this baking expedition, you need a pan to put the ingredients in to make that cake. So that's the tools. So what does God use to speak to us? What are His tools? What does He use? He can use words of other people, maybe pastor, friend, prophecy, or scripture. His words are in the Bible. He can use those things to talk to us. But whatever way He talks to you, it's going to be always very personal, just for you. very unique because he made you. You're wonderfully, beautifully made, unique individual. He talks to you the same way. He knows how to get my attention, but he'll also know how to get your attention. Just the way that you know that God is speaking to me. It's very personal. And me being a very visual person, God often talks to me through visions. He shows me pictures or visions. And I remember a time I was asking God that, what does it look like then when you are my father? We caught the father. And what does it look like to me? Like, what does it really mean? Because when I was 3 years old, my mom and dad got divorced and my dad moved away and I didn't see him for over 10 years. He didn't keep in contact in any way. So I had a stepdad, but that kind of father connection wasn't there. So I prayed and God showed me this incredible vision. It was me as a child. I was playing, running around, having a great time, and just carrying on, laughing, giggling. And God was right there next to me, standing and just looking at me as a father. And all of a sudden, I noticed that he's standing there, and that's my dad. And we made eye contact, and I saw him, and I just started running towards him. And I was running so fast that I was actually tripping on my feet because I couldn't run fast enough to get to my dad. And when I ran to him, he kneeled down and he picked me up and threw me in the air and said, "That's my girl. I'm so proud of you." And he showed me that it doesn't matter where my actual dad was, he was always there. He was always watching over me. He was always near. And he was ready to pick me up and he was proud of me. "That's my girl. You were always my girl." So that vision is like, now when I think of God, I often see that vision again and it's like, I can't believe it. Like, God was always there. Just because my dad wasn't there didn't mean that God wasn't there. So that vision was super powerful, and I will always remember that. And when God speaks to you, it will always line up with his word. What the scripture says about God, he's loving, he's kind, he's full of grace and mercy. It will always line up with his character. He will never speak to you in a way that is not lined up with that, or fruits of the Spirit. It will never contradict those things. He will never say, you, if you hear something like, "Oh, you always mess up, you're not good enough, or you're stupid," that's not God, because he doesn't talk to you that way. That's not his character, and that's not at all who he is. And for another example, I want to tell you a story when the first time I really heard God in a unique way, it was after, not so shortly after I told God that, "God, I made this choice today. I want to hear you. I want to hear your voice." It was one night, middle of the night, I woke up. I felt like I was just wide awake. And I was like, "What's going on?" And I felt like presence in the room, in my bedroom. I was laying in the bed and I felt like, I knew that it was God, that God was there. And I felt like he was just holding me. And then I heard the words so clearly. God told me that, "Sari, I think you are beautiful." And I know he was talking about my heart. He wasn't talking about that, "Oh, your hair looks good today," or nothing, none of the superficial stuff. But he was just saying, "Sari, you're beautiful." And it changed everything for me because I had struggled always that I'm not good enough, that there's something wrong with me, and I quite just never measure up. So hearing God who created the heavens and the earth and telling me that, "Sari, you're beautiful," it just changed how I felt about everything. I had more peace, more joy in my life. And number one thing, for once in my life, for the first time in my life, I actually started liking myself. I liked who I was. Hey, if God thinks I'm beautiful and he likes me and accepts me, I started accepting myself. And it was so powerful. It's such a life-changing thing. And that's how God is. He likes to talk about our identity and tell you things about you, who you are in Christ and who he is in us. Just like Jeremiah 29:11 says that, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." It's a powerful scripture. He always has good things for us. And the last thing, last point in this baking thing is you need to, now you have the cake, the ingredients, and you have the cake pan, and it's ready to go. But it's not done until you put it in the oven. You have to have an oven to cook it. But in the same way, you might have Now we know that we make the choice to listen to God. God, I want you. I want to hear your voice. And you're building the relationship. You're getting to know him. You're spending time listening to him and studying his word and just being in his presence. But then if you don't stay tuned in, you will not hear him. We have to be tuned into his voice. It's not automatic then. You have to decide that you want to do that. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So it's all about hearing God. And I'm going to finish this by telling a story about me and my mom when I was a young girl. This happened quite often, actually. I would be in my bedroom playing, doing whatever I was doing, and my mom would be in the kitchen, and she would be calling me, sorry, I need you to do the dishes. Or, sorry, I need your help in the kitchen, or take out the trash. Nothing. And she would say this over and over again, and no answer. I couldn't hear anything. She would walk to my room and said, did you not hear what I was just... I called you like 5 times. I'm like, oh, I didn't hear anything. Couldn't hear anything. Maybe 2 days later, my stepfather and my mom, they are in the kitchen, and they're talking, and they actually... It's the same distance now. I'm still in the bedroom, same distance to the kitchen. They are talking, and they're actually lowering their voice because now they're talking about adult stuff that we are not supposed to hear. And by some miracle, I heard everything from my bedroom. I heard the whole conversation, things that I'm not supposed to know. So it was all about me being tuned in. I chose not to hear my mom the day before or 2 days before, and now this time because I wanted to know what they were talking about. I was tuned in, and I was able to hear her. So just simple as that. Comes back to the choice. We decide. And we will hear God. So it's very simple. God has already chosen to speak to us and speak to you. Now it's just your decision to say that, God, I decide I want to hear you. And stay tuned in because it will change your life. You won't regret it. It is the best thing in the whole world to hear God's voice on your own. And now my wonderful husband, James, is going to come in and give more practical tips.
Thank you, Sari.
It's good stuff. Some good examples, so I'm going to build on that a little bit. Just a little recap before I build on what Sari said, and that is remember that we started off last week talking about changing the way that you see, and that God is looking to communicate to us in a way that sometimes we miss, that we have a wrong expectation of where it is he's talking, that he's talking to our spirit, that that's the place where he dwells, and we confuse sometimes our soulishness, our emotions and our feelings and things like that, and our wrong beliefs, like Sari had just mentioned a little bit, and things like that, and we confuse that with being spiritual, and so we have certain heightened experiences from our soul, and we think, oh, that must have been God because it felt so awesome. And that's how the soul is very powerful. And we know how strong emotions can be on a range of different types of emotions. They can be really strong or nil, you know, for depending on how you're built. And so it's a very deep thing to feel, and we confuse that sometimes with God, and then when we don't feel it in another occasion, so we have a strong feeling in church, and we think it's God, and then next time we go to church, it's not there. Oh, God's not talking to me. Well, that's because we've mistaken that the Lord is wanting to speak to our spirit, and we don't always feel that. We don't always feel it in our senses or in my emotions. And what we're trying to learn to do is change the way we see, and now we're talking this week about changing the way we hear, which is we want to be seeing from our spirit and looking for spiritual things and listening with our spirit. And that's part of what Sari's describing right there when she finished. It was about tuning in. And she said, well, how do you tune in? She had alluded to some things that are on your notes right there. If you're on that page where it says hearing God. But the tuning in part, sometimes we can think we can get too methodical, which again can be a soulish thing, which is, well, if I read X amount of Bible and I attend church X amount of times and I listen to the right preachers and stuff like that, and that can be just gathering information. And that's not particularly what we want to do. That's only part of it. There's lots of different ways that God can speak. But in all of those different methods and all of those different tools, and Sari used an example of, God speaks to her a lot through visions. That doesn't happen to me very much. It happens occasionally. And so all the different ways that God will do it, he's aiming for our spirit. That's important to know. So we want to tune in from our spirit. We want to learn, and we're just, actually, you hear Jesus sometimes saying, why are you so dull? You know, that he says that in the New Testament. I think this is a lot of what he's referring to, is that we're so often searching and listening for things from the dullness of our own soulish life, what we've become used to, of being spiritually cut off. And then once we get born again, we're not cut off anymore. We're now eating again from the tree of life, but we have to relearn. We have to relearn to hear, and we have to learn to tune in. And here's an interesting thing about kind of a little bit how this works. I hope it's going to work up here. So I'm going to play something up here for you. It's going to come up here on the screen. And it's a little listening exercise. And I don't want anybody getting offended, because it starts off by saying, it says something like, what age are you? Or does your hearing give away your age? Who can hear that? Who can hear that? Who can't hear it? Who heard?
Y'all are talking.
Let me go back and do it again. Okay, raise. Okay, raise your hand if you can hear it when it plays. Okay. You couldn't hear the last one. So let's get back to this right here. So you can see that the thing that what this is built on, it's been used as a security device, where it gets played in malls. If they can see you on CCTV and there's a crowd of young people gathering, they play this high pitched frequency and it disperses them because it hurts their ears. But the older people don't hear it. As you noticed in here, as it got higher pitched, as it went on, there were less hands going up. I mean, there's not that many of us, but it was like, yeah, I can hear that. No, I don't hear. I think I heard the first one. I didn't hear anything after that. I could feel the second one, actually, which was interesting. I can feel the pressure a little bit in my ear, but I can't hear anything. So that's what they use it for. So you can see with different frequencies, just on a physiological level, if that's the right word, just at a physical level, you can sense it. You can tune into it. It's just there. You can hear it. And that's how the Holy Spirit wants us to become in tuning into the voice of God. Is that because there are some of those that we couldn't hear, but it was playing. Obviously, because other people could hear it. And that's a lot like our relationships with God. You're like, why is this dude over here always talking about hearing God and I'm not? Is it that God's not talking to you? Is he not talking to me? No, he's talking. He's there, he's talking all the time. Some of it is just what we're looking for and what our expectations are that we're not hearing. So on the definitions at the top of that page right there, it says, words are a limited means of communication. And ideas can reveal the heart of the matter. We have lots of different ways of communicating. We have lots of different ways of expressing things. For example, we have body language, right? We all know about body language. Is that some of us could walk in here tonight and never say a word, and we could tell by your body language that you're depressed, or that you're sad, or that you're angry, or that you're happy. I mean, you know, you come walking in like that, right? You're not depressed, are you? You know, and you come walking in like this, and it's like, oh, he's depressed. I don't want to talk to him tonight. So body language, so it communicates an idea, right? I don't have to say anything. And a lot of times, or phrases that get used, for example, there's different idioms. We were talking earlier about accents, you know, and some of it, when I first moved here, it wasn't just always accent. It would be idioms or metaphors that you would use that are totally in English language, but they just don't translate one country to another. I mean, you could say something like, it's not always a good thing to say to someone, but when, you know, there's a breakup or something, well, there's plenty of fish in the sea. You know, I've had that said to me tons of times by aunts and uncles when I was younger. Well, there's plenty of fish in the sea, you know, when you just got dumped by your girlfriend, you know, it's like horrible. But you get the idea, right? You know what it is that they're talking about. It's a metaphor, an idiom, things like that, and some translate, some don't. It's intended to communicate an idea. And a lot of times what's happening with God, we're tuning in for, we want the exact words. I want precision. And when somebody says to you, I can remember here, I remember one time I said to somebody, that guy's off his head. And they couldn't get past the literal part of it. What do you mean he's off his head? Well, so I'm trying to explain. Well, he's a bit crazy. He's off. His head's not attached. You know, when you're having to explain it, it's lost its the communication's all gone. And we do this a lot with God. Explain yourself, give me precision, and we're totally missing the idea. We're missing the heart of the matter of what God is talking about. A lot of scripture memorization to me has been like this. I've memorized it because I want to have a set of rules to follow for a certain group of situations. Well, what am I going to say when I meet a gay couple that are married? I have to know my lines. What am I going to say when I meet a divorced person in church? I have to know my lines. What am I going to say when somebody's sick and they come into church and they don't get healed? I got to know my lines. I got to know what the theology is. And so we want precision, and sometimes we're not at all communicating the heart of God when we're talking because we haven't heard Him communicate to us. We're just looking for precise words, like explain the metaphor, explain the prophecy, explain this scripture to me. I don't get it. And we're coming with the wrong approach rather than looking for the heart of the matter, what God is wanting to really say to us about it. So what happens is a lot of our hearing, this is in your notes right here, much of our hearing is predetermined not to listen. Because of some of the theologies that we've set up, because of the way that we've already done this, the examples I just gave you of, I know what I'm going to say when I meet this kind of person, or when I'm in this kind of situation, I know how I'm going to respond. I know how I'm going to communicate. And we're missing the heart of God in it. And it's not so much that we want to learn to hear God to pass on stuff. We do want that. But we're missing hearing God speaking to us. We're missing hearing God. God is saying something to us. And we have predetermined what it is that He means. It can only mean this. I'm going to play a little video up here of an example of that. There's two guys in this video. One of them, in this little scenario, let's just say Vince Vaughn. Does everybody know who Vince Vaughn is? Okay. So he's the character. Now let's just say he was God in this scenario, and he's telling his buddy something, and his buddy is not getting it at all. In fact, then he starts to get to where he's totally reinterpreting it, thinking, I completely got it. So I'm going to let you watch the video, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it.
So the thing that I was most afraid of happening happened, and I don't regret it at all because now she knows how I feel. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? I think what you got to do now is really think hard. Mm-hmm. Because you have to find somebody that can't be traced back to either of us to visit this guy.
Who are you talking about?
The guy came with her. I don't need anything to happen to the guy.
But if they could trace him back to either one of us.
It's not about him. I don't care about
the problem.
Because he's not a problem.
Dumb. Cops are smart, trust me.
Yeah, but he's not a problem to me.
Right.
Listen to me. Promise me that you're not going to do anything.
I got you.
It's better if nobody you don't know anything.
What are you talking about?
I'll take care of it.
I want you to take care of it. John, do me a favor. I'm being serious with you.
I know.
Smart.
You're smart.
No, I'm not. I'm being honest with you. I don't want anything to happen.
Me neither.
Promise me you're not going to have anyone do anything to this
guy.
But
you got to tell me exactly what you're going to tell him if the cops come to you, because we tell a different story.
Nothing.
We
promise me one thing. I'm going to go home. I can't do this. I'm exhausted.
But just make sure that your neighbors know you're going home. Do me a favor. They got phone records. Make a couple phone calls tonight, especially around 10.
Please don't do anything.
All right.
I mean honestly.
No, I get it. For all you know, nothing's happening.
I don't want anything to happen,
right? Say it louder.
So you can see how determined he is. I mean, it's quite simple what he was saying, right? I don't want anything to happen to him. Right, I got to say it louder. And we do that with God. God is saying some things, but see, the guy's stuck on a track because he's predetermined what it is that his buddy means. He's already decided ahead of time it can only mean one thing. I know exactly what it means. And it doesn't matter how hard Vince Vaughn tries to persuade him, he's just getting more into believing that he's right. And even, say it louder. And we do that too. We want God to keep reinforcing what we've already determined that He said a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And we could be way off. And some of the things that we hear wrong are things like this. Sari had kind of mentioned this about the nature and the character of God when he's talking. This is the biggest area where we mishear what God is saying. We read certain scriptures or we come across certain scenarios and we translate them into meaning the wrong thing. For example, we'll hear God speaking judgment instead of restoration. when he says that sin right there, or that what you're doing is harmful to you. We hear him judge us and condemn us rather than he's looking to restore. We've already predetermined, if God points out my sin, if God points out where I'm going astray, it must mean because he's going to hammer me. Now we stop hearing God because we don't like that, obviously. Who wants to get hammered? Who wants to be judged by God? I don't. So we start saying, okay, I got to back off. And that can lead to a whole set of other behaviors and lifestyles because I'm trying to make up for it. And now I'm into it and I'm all over the place. And I'm frustrated because I'm certain that I did hear God. And you may have really heard him. You heard him say something about something specific. But we predetermined what it had to mean. And then we took a course of action on it. And we kept going. And then it gets worse. And then we get more entrenched and more entrenched and more entrenched. And say it louder. God, I need you to remind me of what you told me because I'm doing this because you said to me that I had sin here. So I'm doing all this for your sake. Can you remind me? Give me another word to help me to keep going. And he might just say the same thing again. But we've got a predetermined interpretation of judgment instead of restoration, separation instead of friendship, death instead of life. We're deciding these things. And John 3:17 is a great scripture. So we all know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, etc. Right after that, it says this, for God gave his son, not to condemn the world, but to save it. Now that's a short scripture, right after the most popular scripture probably in Christianity. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. But we hear so much condemnation when God is talking. Now, Sari mentioned about choosing to hear the voice of God. Here's the first chance for us tonight to begin to choose. Just that one scripture, and there's a bunch of them. Just that one, we can choose to say, that's how I'm going to hear God. And I'm going to know that when I hear condemnation, it cannot be God. Because right here it says, Jesus came not to condemn me, but save me. So if he points out where I'm going astray, if he points out, it's to save me. If he points out where I'm lacking, it's to save me. If he points out where I'm hurting someone else, it's to save me and to save them. It's not to condemn me and to harm me and condemn me. It can't be, because that would not line up with the Bible, right? So we get to choose that. Now, you'll feel it even now. There's sometimes religion and the temptations that we have is, yeah, but my experience is this, my experience is that. We get to choose. It's just that simple. We get to choose what we want to hear. That guy in that video can choose what he wants to hear. He can look at his buddy and just say, wait a minute. Oh, okay, so you actually don't want anything to happen. But he has decided and he's sticking with it. We get to choose the scriptures like that. Is God really condemning me? Or is he wanting to save me? So therefore, now I have a context for anything that I hear. And I have a filter for anything that I hear, that I sense could be God talking. That it's not going to have condemnation in it. He wants to reveal himself. So what we do is, when we're doing that, we're in that frame of mind, we start asking all the wrong questions. We start asking God all the wrong questions about how to guide us, how to teach us, how to further us, all these different kind of things. And we start asking him for more scriptures, for more prophecies, different things, like that, and sometimes just to reinforce what we've already decided. A little note under there says, information changes thoughts, revelation changes beliefs. Les talked some about this last week. I mentioned right here at the beginning that if we just start memorizing scriptures and just keep asking God for more information, it just can reinforce all the bad thoughts, all the wrong kinds of thoughts. We need new beliefs, those deep core things inside that are getting us distracted. And a lot of those core beliefs are what make us hear God the wrong way. We've already decided deep down inside us how he wants to work. And I put in here, God speaks the language of life through a spirit-to-spirit exchange. He wants to speak to your spirit. Remember last week, we talked about the two trees. And there's the tree of life, and then there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God's not speaking about the knowledge of good and evil to us. He's always wanting to speak life. Sari gave a couple of stories and testimonies right there of how God's speaking to her things that impart life, things that impart transformation, that reveal, not information, they reveal something about himself, reveal something about her. That's what God wants to talk about. That's what he's always talking about. And if we predetermine that he's not, Like the teen buzz thing, the frequency is going out from God, but we never hear it. We'll never hear it if we just stick with, well, he doesn't talk that kind of stuff. It's mushy or it's sappy or it's, I don't get it or what. If we don't decide to choose to say, I want to hear, I want to tune in. And I know what I need to be tuning into. So when I'm having thoughts in my head of condemnation and judgment and shame, and I'm putting myself down, and those are not the Lord. So then we get to start asking God, so what do you want to say to me? Because it's new for a lot of us, right? So Lord, what do you want to say to me about me? God wants to talk to us about who we are. This is in your notes. Who he is and who he is in us. This is predominantly what God wants to talk about. A lot of times we're asking for information about, should I take this job or not? There's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of times that's all we've got, informational prayers. We want more information from God. God, show me if I should take this job or not. Show me if I should, you know, go here or go there. Or, you know, all this kind of like, God, if I just could have you, you know, give me a scripture. Why does this guy always get prophesied to in church and never me? You know, I want that kind of information. And he wants to talk about who you are and who he is, his nature, his character. He wants to reveal it. And he wants to talk about who he is in us and who we've become with him in us. What if God wants to talk to you about things like this? These are scriptures that I'm going to quote a couple that you've probably, especially the first one you've heard a bunch of times. Psalm 139, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, Les preached on it a little while back. There's a series earlier this year about you're powerful and wonderful and amazing. And sometimes it can feel a little bit awkward, right? If somebody's giving you a compliment, you know, and really looking at you in the eye and saying things specific about you rather than just go, you're awesome. Well, great. But when they, you know, everybody says that to everybody, right? You're awesome. Maybe not, but but when somebody tells you you're awesome or you're great, or that's okay, it's general. But when people get specific and start to tell you, for some of us, that's uncomfortable. We don't like that. We don't want it. That's another issue that we'll come to probably in a couple of weeks' time. But God wants to talk about those things specifically, and we can use scriptures just generally. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Or somebody's discouraged, and you just say, oh, don't worry, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. But when you hear the Lord and you tune in to the Lord speaking to you, you, like Sari's story, you, Sari, are beautiful. That's what God wants to talk to us about. That's what it means when I say he wants to talk about who we are and who he is in us. He wants to be specific to you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And here's how. And he wants to tell us stuff like that. But a lot of times we're too uncomfortable. We don't want to tune into that. Well, that's great for all of them, but not for me. Again, we have the choice. We want to say, I want to hear. And this is the kind of stuff that we'll be hearing when we make that choice. The next thing on there is he wants to talk about where treasure is hidden for you to find. What I mean by that is there's a scripture right there. It says that all of the treasures of the wisdom of God are hidden in Christ. And so the Lord wants to reveal those things to us. He's not looking always to straighten us out and show us where we're going wrong and where we're sinning and where we're bad and where we need to clean up and where we need to get sorted and all that. He's not always wanting to talk about that. He wants to lead us to places to unveil spiritual treasures, to unveil gifts, to unveil blessings to us. And a lot of times we're not listening, we're not tuning in for that. We can get up in the morning and decide, how am I going to be better today than I was yesterday? Lord, will you help me? Help me. A lot of my prayers for years were like that. Just trying to be a bit more righteous today than I was yesterday. Lord, will you help me with this issue? Because yesterday I got mad when I shouldn't have. Or I had an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody and I didn't. Help me to do that today. Or, you know, I didn't give as much as I should have helped. I'm focused on all that stuff, whereas the Lord is not particularly wanting to talk about that. I've decided he wants to talk about that. And I'm like, I'm not hearing anything. So I'll just go ahead and try harder. Instead of the Lord wanting every day to say, you know, today there's treasures for you that are hidden. Let's go discover them. Ask me. I'll show you. And they're spiritual treasures. There can be practical treasures, material things as well. I know that. But again, it's a spirit-to-spirit exchange. There's things about heavenly things he wants to show us, about him, about his kingdom, about who we really are now that we're restored as his children. And the third one there is where the procession is. There's a scripture there in 2 Corinthians that says that we are always led in triumphal procession in Christ. Sometimes this can be difficult to reconcile with your experiences if life is going tough. And it does at times. Nobody gets to escape the seasons of life. That we all have people in our lives that die. Everybody. Nobody escapes it. That season, if it hasn't been here, it's coming. That's not fatalistic or depressed. It just is. We have seasons where we're tired. We have seasons where we're not as fit as we used to be. Or Zeke taught me that playing tennis a few weeks ago. I'm now in a season where it's very difficult to compete and it's depressing. You know, so you have seasons in life, right? They come and nobody gets to escape them. You just don't get to escape them. But this scripture here says, we are always led in triumphal procession. So I want to be listening to the Lord. Where's the triumph that you want to lead me to? Where are the victories today that you want to lead me to? My body's fading and going to go to the ground. Just get over it. There's still triumph for me. Because the triumph is not about my physical body. And that's eventually going to be triumph anyway. I'm going to get resurrected to a new glorious body. But for here and now, there's spiritual triumphs that the Lord wants us to have. Let's